I have to confess that I love, you can call it 70s country or 70s folk rock. That's my favorite genre of music. So as we celebrate Mother's Day this morning, we'll quote the three wise men, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, as they have their song titled, Teach Your Children Well. So their 1970s hit, the first part of the lyrics go like this. You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. And we do teach our children. We teach our children both by word and by deed, whether we think that we are teaching them or not. And we can see this in a lot of areas, some good, some bad. But at the moment, this morning, what I'd like to do is focus on some of the potential vices of life that we can teach our children. If you smoke, 12-year-olds whose parents smoked were more than 2 times as likely to begin smoking cigarettes on a daily basis between the ages of 13 and 21 than those parents who do not use tobacco, according to a recent study. In regards to obesity, a child with one obese parent has 50% chance of being obese. When both parents are obese, their children have an 80% chance of obesity. In a recent article on spousal abuse, most experts believe that children who are raised in abusive homes learn that violence is an effective way to resolve conflicts and problems. They may replicate the violence they witnessed as children in their teen and adult relationships and parenting experiences. Boys who witness their mother's abuse are more likely to batter their female partners as adults than boys raised in non-violent homes. For girls, adolescence may result in the belief that threats and violence are the norm in relationships. In regards to infidelity, in a recent study conducted with more than 800 adult children whose parents were unfaithful to their spouse, 96% of the respondents said cheating was not okay, even if their partner didn't find out, yet 44% had been unfaithful themselves. In the area of crime, according to a study conducted by Central Connecticut State University, children of the incarcerated are 3 times as likely to be justice involved. So they're somewhere within the criminal system. So when you think about all of these vices, should we not be surprised when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in fact, we've got a couple of verses that we will deal with in Deuteronomy this morning. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, as you look at the Ten Commandments, starting in verse 7, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Now, sometimes people read that verse 9, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation, as in the context of the fact that God is going to punish children for the sins of their parents. But that's not really the case. Sin is not hereditary. And there's a lot of so-called studies today that want to point out that from a gene basis, that people commit crimes because of a gene, or they smoke because of a gene, and they're not faithful because of a gene. It's got to be the gene's fault, but that's not the case. Sin is not hereditary, but sin is teachable. So sin has an effect. Society wants us to believe that we can commit sins so long as we do not hurt anyone. That somehow that you can commit sin and it's like a victimless crime. But that's not the case. When we commit sin, we hurt other people. And one of the ways that we hurt other people is that our children watch us and we are teaching them. But not only is sin teachable, as we see here in the Ten Commandments, but if you go to the next chapter in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6, we can also make the case that you can teach righteousness. And in fact, not only can you teach righteousness, but you are instructed as a parent to teach righteousness. Look at the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 6, starting in chapter 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. There, as you see in these verses, that their longevity in the land was tied to their belief. They were told to teach their children righteousness. We have been commanded to teach. So not only, as we just saw studies that showed that smokers' kids smoke, and obese parents have obese children, and parents that are criminals, they tend to have children that are in the criminal system, and we can go on and on with vice, but I also want to point out that it has a spiritual effect as well. One of the things that I want to point out is a poll that they did in Switzerland. It was from 1994, but I think that it has a bearing on us as Americans as well. So in 1994, the Swiss come out with a survey regarding church attendance. And this is what it came up with. If both mom and dad attend church regularly, and these aren't wonderful percentages, But if mom and dad attend church regularly, 33% of their children will end up as regular churchgoers. 41% will end up attending irregularly. Only a quarter of their children will end up not practicing at all. So if mom and dad both attend church, only 25% will walk away from the faith. If the dad is irregular and the mother is regular, this is profound. We're not talking about not attending, we're talking about irregular. If dad is irregular and mother is regular, only 3% of the children will subsequently become regular themselves. 59% of the children will become irregular. 38% will be lost to the faith. If the father is non-practicing, dad does not go to church. The dad does not go to church, and the mother is regular. Now, this is a real problem because as we have faced the feminization of church in America, this is what we're up against. Dad doesn't show up, mom is regular, only 2% of children will be regular worshipers. 37% will attend irregularly. 60% of children will be completely lost to the church. As we look at families in crisis, we can point to one of the issues is church attendance. As we look to a church in crisis, which is where we're at in America today, as the church continues to dwindle, part of the reason is church attendance. Now, you may say to yourself, oh man, here we go, the pastor's on church attendance again, because I know it's a topic that I frequently discuss. But my argument with church attendance is church attendance, and this is important, church attendance can be, and most likely is, there's some exceptions to this, but church attendance can be, and most likely is, a barometer to the zeal of your faith. Now, why do I say that? First of all, if you worship the Lord, you want to be here. And I'll be the first one to tell you that if you don't like me, or if you don't like the sermon that I deliver, or you don't like something about the church, don't stay at home. Go somewhere else. This church isn't about the preacher. It's not about how we conduct church. This church is about Jesus Christ. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would much rather you go somewhere else if you don't like something that's going on than for you to not go somewhere at all. It's about church. It's about Jesus. Now, in addition to that, not only are we here to worship, but we are also here to fellowship with one another. Think about it this way. This is the only 2 hours, these 2 hours today, and the hour on Wednesday, this is the only time of the week that I can be around people that are like-minded. Every other place that you go, whether you're at work, whether you are at a sporting event, whether you are at a social activity, you will be surrounded by people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who think differently than you do. This is the only time of the week that I can come and I can be in a group of people who share my beliefs in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a wonderful experience. I long for it. I love it. We should all love it. So not only is it important for us individually, as we think about just church attendance, we're going to get on to some other topics in just a moment, but just church attendance. We should be here, one, because we love the Lord, and also because we are commanded to teach these things to our children. And we've already seen by the Swiss study that if you don't show up for church on a regular basis, your children are not going to show up. Why? Because you have taught them. You have taught them that it is okay for you to be lax in your worship. Now, we could sit there and we could say, well, they could be legalist. Now, they could be. They could approach church out of a sense of legalism. I've gone to legalistic churches, and you're there because people want to be legalistic in their view, and I'm here because I'm a legalist. You can approach church that way. But that's not what we're talking about. Just as we read in Deuteronomy how we are to love the Lord, when they asked Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 36, they said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" In verse 37, Jesus gave them this answer. He quoted the Deuteronomy verse that we just looked at in Deuteronomy 6. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." We should be here not out of a sense of legalism, but we should be here because we love God. That's the important point, is that we are here because we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Just as last week I talked about passion, and we should be passionate about our faith. And when you're passionate about your faith, you talk about your faith. You are expressive in your faith. And one of the ways that you're expressive in your faith is that you want to come and you want to worship together as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. That spills out of this sense of love. As we look at raising kids and grandkids, in our morning music service, as we sang in the garden, I will never ever sing in the garden without being reminded of my grandmother. I would go visit my grandmother, and she had a Heavenly Highway hymnal in her home. I have that hymnal today. And part of the admission to Grandma's house is that she would make me sit and sing in the garden to her. She was a godly woman. As I've shared before, I am in the pulpit today partly because of the influence of my grandmother, of my godly grandmother. She lived her faith. And I watched her as she died with cancer, and she was a testimony. So if you got a regret as being a mom or a dad, my goodness, what an opportunity you have to be a godly grandparent in teaching your grandchildren, just as it's commanded in Deuteronomy that we teach our grandchildren and our children a love for God. And church attendance is just one aspect of that. Because not only is church attendance important, but your children need to see you pick up your Bible. Your grandchildren need to see you pick up your Bible. Your children and your grandchildren need to see you have a conversation about God to where it's a normal conversation and it's not contrived and it's something out of your heart. Have you ever had a stranger in your house with your family and you notice that your conversation becomes more reserved because here's this person that you don't know, so you kind of hold back a little bit? Unfortunately, that's how conversations about God sometimes become in the house, because people aren't used to talking about God in the house. We need to be comfortable in talking about God. And I would submit to you that as we grow in our love relationship with the Lord, that it becomes easier to talk about God because we're experiencing God on a daily basis. And so we talk about Him. So we should be attending church. We should be reading our Bible in front of our kids, to our kids. We should be praying with our children. Our faith should be a part of us. Now, my dad played basketball, and he played for Permian, and then he went on and played basketball at Odessa Junior College. And when I got into junior high, I wanted to play basketball like my dad. And I have 4 stitches in my chin because I was determined to play basketball like my dad. And I completely passed out on the basketball court and spent 4 days in the hospital as they were trying to figure out what was wrong with me. I just could not play basketball like my dad. But I had this huge desire to. Think about it this way. That was important to me when I was in junior high. If I walked in right now wearing a basketball uniform, you would think that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm too old. Think about how we get caught up at the moment of what we're doing with our children. I see parents get completely bent out of shape thinking that their kids are going to play pro football, pro baseball. I'll never forget when the kids were young and they were starting off playing sports. My uncle looked at me and he said, "I'm going to tell you right now, your children will not play pro sports." And I thought that was an odd comment. But you know, it was the best thing he ever could have told me. We get so bent out of shape about sports and events, but the one thing, think about it this way, the one thing that sticks with your kid eternally is their relationship with God. And while I may look absolutely foolish in a basketball uniform or a football uniform or a baseball uniform at the age of 51, do I look foolish holding a Bible? Do I look foolish praying? Do I look foolish attending church? No, because it sticks with you. All of that other stuff is almost fashionable. It's whatever you're going through at that particular point in your life. But your belief in the Lord, your love for the Lord, your exercise of your faith sticks with you and sticks with your children. We are called to not only be godly, obedient people, but we are called to teach our children the ways of the Lord. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we just thank you so much for your word and your truth. We thank you that through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are able to understand the things of God. And I just pray, Lord, I pray that all of the folks here today that are in that season of life that are raising kids, I pray that they would commit to be a godly parent. That they would be known in their life as a faithful believer. I pray that they would be passionate about their belief. I pray for the grandparents here that they would be able to influence their grandchildren, that their grandchildren would see their love of God, that they'd be drawn to it and recognize that it's something special. It's unique. It's beyond compare. I pray for this church that we might be a witness to our community and that we might proclaim the need for godly families. In Jesus' name, amen.